Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Grace Nurture. This is your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for joining us on today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you and invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Grace Nurture is a ministry of the Grace View Church of Christ located in Stone Mountain, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. On today, our words of encouragement will be presented by Brother Ben Griffin. His message is entitled, He That Winneth Souls is Wise, and comes from Proverbs chapter 11, verses 30. I ask you to please stop whatever it is you are doing, find yourselves a quiet corner, and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Brother Griffin, you are on the air.
Good morning, Sister Danielle. Thank you for a warm welcome. Thank everyone for tuning in this morning to Grace Nurture. I also want to thank the Grace New Church of Christ, but more precisely, I want to thank Jesus Christ and our Father and the Holy Spirit for allowing each of us to rise and be a part of this great ministry. For all of this, we each need to be eternally grateful. Today's lesson, by way of encouragement, he that winneth souls is wise. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 26 and 30. Bible says, he that withholds coin, the people shall curse him, but blessings shall be upon the head of him that setteth it. He that diligently seeketh procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come upon him. He that trusteth in riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. And the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. God manifests his love and concern for lost souls through the sacrifice of his only begotten Son. Jesus offered himself, he wept, and he pled for the souls of mankind. We are to be like our Father as we walk in the footsteps of Jesus. The Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 32 tells us, if I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. The challenge before us is to exalt and lift up Jesus before all those whom we know. We are the royal family of God, chosen to show forth his praise. We are the heirs of the promise of God. We are to invite, encourage, and persuade others to become children of God as well. We cannot be the people of God if our hearts are empty with the best interests of God. Daniel the prophet, in Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, the Bible says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of a firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And so it is upon us that we be mindful of those who are outside of the family of God. It is our challenge to induce, persuade, to plead with them to give their souls into the hand of God. And the reason why it's wise when we save souls, because first isn't necessary. It eliminates regret, shame, and hurt. I imagine each of us may have experienced someone that was in our life who's no longer upon this earth, but they're outside of Christ. And we had opportunity to influence them to change their life. But because of fear, or many other reasons or excuses, we chose not to reach out to them with the gospel of Christ. And now it's too late. Not only that, some may have gone and embraced denominationalism, or some may have turned their hearts totally against God because of some experience they had with someone else in another type of church, or even the Lord's church. But you had the chance to make a difference in their life, but you chose to be passive and never reached out to them and told them how God changed your life, and how he's changed your life, and how he can change that. And so it's necessary that we be wise to reach out to those who we know are unsaved before it's too late. John 15, 1 through 8 tells us we ought to glorify God by bearing fruit. Matthew 21 says we ought to go out being cursed like the fig tree, not productive. Romans 7, 4 says we ought to save, we are saved in order that we can save others. So we ought to have this eternal life, and we ought to pass it on. But we need to realize that it's wise to save souls because God makes no exceptions. That is, everyone is expected to do something. Matthew chapter 25, 14, the one who gave one talent, two talent, and five. The one who had the five double his, one had the two double his. The one who given one talent went and buried his talent and did nothing. And because of that, the Lord took that talent and gave it to the one who produced more. And so the rule of thought is, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. It doesn't matter what sex, age, or education to God you might be. You need to realize that it doesn't matter. God wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But the fact of the matter is, if you are 10 years old, or 11 years old, or 50 years old, if you know anything about Jesus, you can share that. You can start off with how you became a child of God, the plan of salvation, the invitation that you heard. So the idea that I don't know enough is not acceptable with God. You know enough to be saved yourself. Take what you learned and use that to get people into the faith of Christ. But also, it's wise to win souls because there's joy in soul winning. You know what the Apostle Paul told the church of Philippi? Is that said, you are my joy. And he was writing to them, said, you are my joy. And so that is the fact that you are in Christ. You are my joy. Just to know that I won you to Christ, that makes my heart flutter. That makes my mind just be overjoyed. And so even the Apostle John, he talks about, says, for I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. And so in 3 John 3 and 4, this is the fact of the matter, is that it's joy in soul winning. If you have never experienced someone whom you reached out to and they gave their life to Christ, what a joy, joyful moment, joyful time that would be. You know, in James chapter 5, in verse 20, it talks about how we are to arrest a stream of evil influence, to originate a stream of holy and helpful influence, to turn back a human spirit from a course which leadeth downward. Now, when we look at James chapter 5, verse 20, the Bible says, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sin. You take, for instance, the Apostle Paul. He was arrested by Jesus on the road to Damascus. Paul was a very influential, very aggressive person in what he was trained to do. He was having Christians persecuted, prosecuted, and put to death in some cases. And the Lord took that energy, that determinate spirit of Paul, who was Saul at the time, and turned it around. And now Paul became one of the great evangelists, one of the great apostles, one of the great missionaries, one of the great writers of the Christian faith. Perhaps there's someone you know who just is energetic and have a determinate spirit. If you can just arrest them with the gospel of Christ and turn that negative energy to a positive energy, working in the kingdom of Christ, working for God and not against God, what a day that would be. You just may convert a Paul, or you may just convert a Priscilla and Aquila, because they will work in the kingdom of Christ. Let me say this as we hasten to a close my lesson this morning. Every Christian has the fundamentals necessary to become a successful winner of souls. However, to become one, we must develop certain attitudes. We must cultivate certain personalities and specific preparations implemented. before we can regain lost ground and become friends of sinners, just as Jesus did, we must overcome our holier-than-thou attitudes. We must learn to live the Christian life on the offensive and the defensive if we want to draw close to sinners. We must become likable people and have a genuine love of humanity. We need to smile, let the world know that we are happy. We must make the people pray for what we have, make the gospel attractive. We must be convinced that God is always with us and that his word is powerful. Because the gospel of Christ is powerful. The word of God is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing divine asunder of soul and spirit. And so then, he that winneth souls is wise. Let this be our marching order moving forward. Touch the life of someone that's in your life who's not walking in the will and the way of the Lord. Jesus says, I am the way. That signifies there's only one way. He says, I am the truth. That signifies there's only one truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Christ's only way that people will no longer be in darkness if they walk in his footsteps, follow in his path. You and I have been on this journey for some time. Others need to be on the journey as well. Let's encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ to be sober and going forward in their life. You never warn anyone to the Lord. What a joy you're missing out on. But what a joy will be if you cross that line of faith with the gospel of Christ, letting people know how much you truly love them. Yes, there's anticipatory rejection, but what if they don't reject? What if they've been waiting for you to make your move? Make your move. Reach across the line and invite someone into the family of God. May God bless you and may he keep you in our prayers as we pray on this morning. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for all that you are and all that you shall ever be. We pray that you allow us to be like you as we walk in the footsteps of Jesus. We are thankful that we are a part of your royal family, and we are chosen to show forth your praise. We realize that we're the heirs of the promise of God. Therefore, we will invite, encourage, and persuade others to become children of God as we. We cannot be, and we realize this, we cannot be your people if our hearts are empty with your best interests. And your best interest is that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For this we understand, and this we will follow through and carry out. Give us another opportunity to be your true servants. This we do pray in your Son Christ's name. Amen.
I won't let you be.
There's a story of an old sister who would come to church every Sunday. It was pain aching in her body. She would struggle from the back of the church all the way to the front pew, sometimes with tears streaming from her eyes. And one day, one of those young sisters got beside her sister, and she told that old sister, "Sister, if you're in so much pain, why don't you just turn around and just stay home sometimes?" That old sister just held her Bible close and said these words.
As I read the story of old, and I look at old man Joe, he lost everything that he had in just one day. Now can't you see him as he spoke with his wife, when she said, "You ought to curse your God and die." I can imagine with tears in his eyes, I can hear Joe say, I won't let
the
dust
bin turn me around.
Though he slay me, I'm still gonna trust the
Lord.
No sickness, no sorrow, no pain. See, this is what I've learned. You see, when times in life get hard, that's when you wanna fall down and worship God. So I won't let nothing.
Before I take it back, I'll add more stuff.
About those Hebrew boys, Shadrach, me. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when the king said, better bow down before that image. That day, yeah, yeah.
Nothing.
I won't let nothing, no, turn me around.
I won't
no,
let
no weapon formed against me to prosper. See, there's one thing I know. Sometimes we gotta go through the fire, but it's good to know Jesus will be right there by your side. I'm not gonna let nothing, no, no, no.
Turn me around.